Ooh, we have a young special guest coming up. Oh, no, she's checking it out. No? Okay. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 5, verses 27 to 32. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance."
Let's pray before we begin. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, for this time to go into the book of Matthew again, to look on just a couple verses today, but Lord, thank you so much for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning once again. If you're just joining us today, we've been going through the book of Matthew, as you saw the kids adamantly say, Matthew chapter 4. And if you are just joining us for the first time for a while or the first time ever this morning, it's a great morning. We're going to head downstairs after the service, and I will remind everyone about that after. But the sermon this morning is a little bit shorter just because we're going to be doing that at the end of the service, and we're just going to be going through a couple verses. So if you have your Bible in front of you, or you can look in the back behind me, thank you, that's great. Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 to 25. Now, we've explored a few things in this book so far. We've explored the birth of Jesus. We've explored a brief conversation between John the Baptist and the religious people. And now we've come to what many people believe is the really exciting parts, the parts where Jesus heals people, where Jesus is getting popular. If you were here a couple weeks ago, I mentioned that this is sort of the time where Jesus might be trending on all the social media platforms, if that connects with you, if you're younger. Now, Jesus is just starting to do ministry. We see here at the end of chapter 4, he is starting to become popular. However, we must remember that his goal, Jesus' goal and vision, was not to become a superstar. I mean, he could have done that. He could have come in with a great chariot or fire or a sword or as a great warrior. But that wasn't his plan, to be a superstar. Rather, his goal, his vision, the same as John the Baptist, was for people to repent, to return from their ways, to turn from this idea that they alone could save themselves, that they were the source of their salvation. The reality was this: Jesus was saying that they must deny themselves, take up their own cross in order to be saved, to follow him. We saw those words a couple weeks ago. Now, these few verses that we're going to read in a couple minutes don't say much in terms of overall content. They're only three verses. And it's only three verses, and yet they do display a bit about the character of Jesus. Now, if we remember last week, we saw Jesus calling these four fishermen from the Sea of Galilee: Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Four fishermen, inviting them into a relationship that would be unlike anything they had ever experienced before. Jesus said this: "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They did exactly that, and they're just starting here. They left everything to follow Jesus. Now, these three verses, which we're going to read right now, are the first impression which these four disciples get of Jesus. Now, let's read Matthew 4, 23 to 25. Matthew writes this: "Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering with severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him." Now, these four disciples are students of Jesus. We saw last week how the term disciple means a follower or a student of a teacher. Jesus knows all of this and goes throughout Galilee, teaching people in synagogues, proclaiming the good news everywhere he could go, and healing people. In these few three verses, we see a little mission that Jesus is on: to teach, to proclaim, and to heal. Verses 24 and 25, if you look there, tell of the after effect of this mission. People with severe pain, demon-possessed people, paralyzed people, and the list goes on. Large crowds, Matthew writes, follow him around the region as Jesus continues on. I think, at least for myself personally, I wish if I had a superpower, I wish I could heal myself. Wouldn't that be great? You get cuts or you break a leg, you can just heal yourself. Even spiritually, but physically, spiritually, everything. Just heal myself. Maybe if I was a superhero, I would want that power. The reality, though, as we see here, is that if we can only receive the power because God has that power, the Holy Spirit. Now, that's something to talk about another time. But rather, today, we get to talk about the healing part of this passage. Now, for some of you, you probably have experienced pain unlike I have ever experienced or may ever experience. And maybe for some of you, you've just experienced a little pain, maybe a paper cut. But after a little while, you were healed. You were healed. The cast was gone. The crutches were gone. Maybe the Band-Aid was gone. And for others here, you have pain every day. Every day. Pain that doesn't go away. And we see here that Jesus heals many people. And we're going to see that throughout the book of Matthew. And if you read the other Gospels, Jesus heals many people. In fact, in Luke 4, verses 18 to 19, we see why Jesus was even sent. Luke wrote, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners," and this one, "and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That's Luke 4, 18 to 19. We see numerous times in the Gospels that Jesus physically heals a blind person, a physically blind person. However, we must remember that Jesus came to heal the spiritual blindness of people as well, and maybe even more importantly. And we are spiritually blind, aren't we? We probably don't want to admit it. We would like to just say we're very confident in our spiritual life and our walk with Jesus, but sometimes we struggle. We are spiritually blind. Isn't that what grace does, though? Grace comes in and reveals to us what God is doing in our midst. John Newton, in his very famous hymn, which many of you probably know, says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see." But now I see. Because we continually sin, even when we don't know it, because we continually sin, we are so much more in need of grace. Because we are saved by grace alone, in Jesus alone, our need for our eyes to be opened every day is so much more needed. In order for us to share the good news, we ourselves must have our eyes opened to what God is doing in our midst. Because we are people and God is God, we are in need of healing every day. Last week we heard that you can come as you are to Jesus. That is great news, isn't it? That is good news. Regardless of your past or your present or how you think your future might go, Jesus is still having his hand out, saying, "Follow me," ready for you to take his hand, ready for you to surrender your life to him. Once we take that invitation, our lives are changed. Now, part of what happens after this invitation involves what will be happening very soon: baptism. We see throughout the New Testament this act of baptism happening very soon after conversion. It's a symbol of the healing that Jesus has done in our life. Paul says in Romans 6, he says this, that "don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We just read about Jesus healing quite a few people, a lot of different diseases, a lot of people. Now, Paul in the book of Romans declares that being baptized is not unlike the healing that Jesus did. A new creation, Paul says also in the book of 1 Corinthians. Today, we as a church family get to have the opportunity to witness baptism. And I don't know about you, but I am very excited to see what God is doing in our midst and in the life of Jenny. Now, baptism symbolizes a lot of this, Jesus healing us. For when we are immersed into the water, it symbolizes exactly what Jesus did. Died, he was buried, he died, and then he rose. He rose. Jesus, through his death and resurrection, has healed us and continues to heal us as a church and as individual followers of him. That is good news. And that is the good news that needs to be shared amongst our community. According to the last demographic census that was done by the Government of Canada, there are 219 people that are non-churched in Cremona. 219 people that don't know Jesus. I want to leave that with you. We need to share this good news with our friends, our neighbors, and even with people we don't get along with. The person who cuts us off, the person who is a noisy neighbor, we need to share this good news. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, even though it was a shorter message, a shorter text to go through, Lord, we thank you for what it has said about your son. God, we thank you for this time, and you thank you that you have gone before us and continue to do things in this community and in this church and in the people in this church. In Jesus' name, amen.